Hi everyone. Welcome to Data Science with Sam, the podcast where we cut through the noise to explore what's really happening in the world of artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam, and today we are diving deep into one of the most critical conversations every business leader needs to have: AI transformation. Now, if you have been in the business world for more than 5 years lately, you probably heard the term AI transformation thrown around more times than you can count. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone claims they're doing it. But here is the uncomfortable truth. Most organizations are probably getting it spectacularly wrong. So today, we're joined by Nan Li, a recognized data and AI thought leader who's been at the forefront of democratizing emerging technologies. Nan brings a unique perspective to this conversation, having witnessed firsthand the mistakes organizations make and the strategies that actually work. Nan, welcome to the episode. I'm really happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Before we move on to the Q&A section, Nan, could you please introduce yourself to my listeners and viewers?
Thank you. So I have actually the fortune to be growing with the data analytic AI industry over the last 2 decades. I started my career actually in database marketing when analytic wasn't even a word. The industry evolved over time from analytics, data science, which was named one of the sexiest jobs of 21st century, then leading AI machine learning practice in the Fortune 500 companies. I've led teams of different sizes and focused my industry expertise in the insurance, financial services, the healthcare industry, the regulated industry. That's very interesting because when there's regulation, there's complexity, there's a nice balance we have to strive. So I'm very passionate about helping organizations, leaders, and individuals navigate this AI transformation with a human-centric approach because I believe AI is created by human, by studying and mimicking human intelligence, and should be used alongside with the human for the benefit to improve our humanity and society.
Thanks, Nan, and thanks for starting off with a great, overview of your fascinating professional journey in the field of data and AI so far. And I love the way you kind of like mentioned about the data science. Like a decade back, it was one of the sexiest jobs in the 21st century, and it still are. But we are kind of like seeing a little bit of evolve around the data science professional field due to the emergence of artificial intelligence. And we'll talk more about it later in this episode. So let's just start with our first Q question for this segment. Which AI transformation pillar do you see companies struggling with the most, and why do you think that is?
Sure, you're probably referring to my latest, one of the blog I wrote about the four pillars for AI transformation business need to focus on. Those four pillars are business driven. You have to align with business priorities. Second, user centricity, center around the user needs and adoption. Third is technology enablement. Technology should enable. And the last one is ethics guide. We have to consider responsible AI. I'll say all four pillars are important. That's why we need a balance. We need a team. It's a team sport. A lot of companies, they heard about the name and the hype. And I think the biggest mistake company make is start with technology. Ask the question, ask the team just to brainstorming. Hey, we have the wonderful technology called AI, particularly generative AI. What can we do about it? Right? What could we do? What use it we could have? Pretty soon, they will come with hundreds. I'm saying many organizations have a big spreadsheets of over 100 or hundreds of use cases that then starting consuming the time, energy they're sitting through it. After some effort, they will realize actually the best way and quickest way to get to the value actually start with the business value. Look at the business, your mission, vision, and strategy, right? What are you trying to achieve? What's important to you right now? Find the problems that are most relevant, eminent to you. Then say, okay, what technologies that's available to me can help me solve it. I think you're better to solve the right problem with rudimentary techniques or methodology than trying to solve the wrong problem with the most advanced techniques or AI technology. I think that's very important, is start with the business driver. And the second, I'll say focus on the user. I think the most recent, there's a lot of reports from the big consulting firm, Industry Reports. The biggest challenge into AI success is not technology, it's adoption. Right, almost three quarter of AI project fail. It's not because it's not possible. It is people resist to it. People have fear, or the product, the solution wasn't built around the people's needs. That's why the human, the user centricity has become very important. I said eventually AI needs to be used in conjunction with humans to understand the user workflow, their habit, and their mindset is very important. Then I think the technology evolves so quickly. It's amazing how fast the technology evolves over time. I have to believe anything, if we have a question, there's proper solution, even right now or in the near future. And the last one is because evolve so quickly, it's new, we'll make sure we develop that responsibly. We consider the ethics consideration because otherwise you get to disaster much faster.
No, that's a definitely a great perspective, Nan, and thank you for sharing that with us. While you're talking about this business strategy versus AI strategy, it kind of reminded me of a term that was coined probably like 10 years back when we are literally at the beginning of the data science phase. I remember it was a term that was used in my previous employer. It was something like business strategy. Should be like IT strategy should be business strategy. So it's like, you have to think about what's the backbone of your strategy, and it starts from your business because that's the revenue generator. So now we can probably rephrase the term and call it AI strategy should be your business strategy. It's like, you probably have a great AI hammer, but if you don't have a nail, there is no use for that. So please find out the nails first before you start hammering anything. So, I mean, thank you for the perspective, Nan. Let's dive into our second question. This is around the same strategy, but it's more towards data, because as we know that, every organization grapples with data, especially the data quality. So in your opinion, what do you think about this AI-ready data term? Like, what it kind of looks like in practice, and how far behind are most companies in different business verticals in terms of acquiring AI-ready data that can actually take their AI journey to the next level?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Like a lot of companies jump into AI, then end up finding out their data is not ready, right? Let's peel onion back. Let's talk about what is data, what is AI. All right. That's my I think in data actually it's a sample of the world. More and more in before we just do market research, we collect small sample. Now we can collect lot much larger sample. And with sample, there is limitation, there's bias. Right, potentially. And second, the core of AI is the model. Model actually is the simplified representation of the real world. Think about the linear regression. We think one thing in it goes up, another thing go up. That's a simple representation. But in reality, the world is more complex. So data is created and collected by the process in the real world. When the real world is not nonlinear, it's messy, it's ever changing. And that's what reflects in your data too. So I think the first thing you can connect data is not created in a silo, and data is not something asset by itself. Data is connected to the real world, connect to your workflow, connect to your processes. So that's why data is contextual. That's the one point I want to make. Data is contextual. Whether your data is AI ready has to be contextual too. Right. I think in the structured data world, we have some standards already now. When we move to non-structured world, it becomes very difficult to define what is a good non-structured data because nature of that, how we communicate is not universal, right? Everybody has a different way of communication, different way of writing, how different way of showing up. So that reality is represented in the non-structured data. We have to think of creatively. What AI data mean for the in the non-structured world. I also say for make your AI ready data is look at the use cases. Has to be use case specific, right? And what kind of precision, quality, or information you need from the data that help you build a use case, and use case trying to solve a problem. I would say as long as your data can help you solve a problem, you can start small, right? Another thing, it's a AI model, AI solution is iterate approach. Of course, we have to work on data, but you cannot boil in the ocean. I would say go back to the business priority. What is your priority? Right. For that use case, what data you have? Can we use existing process to make data cleaner, more organized, and have clear accountability, ownership, and better labeled? At the same time, look at the use cases, right? Sometimes it's a chicken and egg. You can make data ready so your model predict better, or through the we call it in the model analysis, we do exploratory data analysis. From EDA, you can identify patterns. When you build a model, develop AI solution, identify something, in turn, you can enhance your process, right? Thus, improve your data quality. Another, actually, one example we had is in my prior role, working with non-structured data. That involved a lot of shorthand, right? Domain-specific terminology. Then we end up actually develop a new dictionary, a translation layer. So allow them to from you call metadata to clean data. At the same time as the technology evolves, we can use AI technology to improve our data capturing. For example, right now we use handwriting notes when we started typing, right? And there's no question about whether I can read your handwriting or not. Now we can voice to text. We don't worry about typo, grammar mistake because the technology will correct to us. So in the future, I believe data will be much organized, more readable, machine ready. So it is an evolution. I will say start with the use case, make your data better gradually, and imagine the future data will be probably in a different form than we imagine right now.
Yeah, no, thanks, Nan. I think this is definitely sounds like a practical approach, like start with a use case and then try to define which data you're going to use to build up on it. Especially in today's world, I think LLM is also enabling us to produce a lot of synthetic data. So I believe the data quantity won't be an issue in future, but we need to derive what's this use case. So based on that, we can make sure we have the proper data elements to build model or even perform any subsequent analysis on that. So thanks for your, like your perspective. It is definitely sounds like the practical approach that my listeners over here who are business leaders could follow in their, respective AI journey or AI initiatives. Now, moving on to the next question. Now, since we talked about AI, and obviously there's a term that's going around the world and people's life one way or another getting impacted by artificial intelligence right now. Now, when people talk about AI, it's just not about the toolkit, it's also about learning the technology, what's going behind the scene, and all kind of stuff. So that brings me to my next question. What does AI literacy mean for different roles within an organization, from the C-suite down to the frontline workers?
Yeah, AI literacy is very important, right? That's a hot topic right now. And a lot of companies put a lot of money and resources in AI literacy education. But we have to be strategic. Like you said, it might mean different things, might have different requirements based on your roles in the organization. Actually, I just wrote a blog on Substack talking about AI literacy is not enough, right? I would say on the surface, literacy means I understand the concept, the terminology. I use in that blog, I use analogy like play tennis. I'm a tennis player, but as a hobby. So you watch tennis on the TV, you understand the rules, you understand the basic shots just by watching or reading it. That's literacy. So similar to AI, when we talk about machine learning, when I talk about neural network, when I talk about prompting and hallucination, you understand what it means. So at least we can talk in the same language. But just understanding is not enough. By watching TV is not going to make you a big tennis player. There's the three more levels beyond literacy I wrote in the blog. The next one is AI proficiency. right? That's when rubber meets the road. You have to pick up your racket, hitting the balls, go into the clinic, practice your ground stroke and your slice and volley, then become really proficient at that. They taking that to the companies, I think the frontline associates need to be proficient with the tools of choice the company decide to implement. So they have to practice to figure out what works for them. They need to develop the new habits that works for them every day. So by using that, they can improve their daily efficiency by working with AI tools. Then the next round is by actually on efficiency, need a coach, right? They cannot go along similar, they need a group. That's why having, cohort-based learning, have group learning, and have a coach and along the journey is very important. The next level, I would say for the mid to higher level management is called AI fluency. When the fluency, when you start and be strategic, intentional using what technique you use at different situation, it's like a play a tennis match. Right, based on the what opponent they have, what strategy other people deploy, I would adjust my response. So in the organization, the leaders should be very fluent, not just understand that they know what is good for certain things, not good for other situations. In particular situation, how can be strategically and quickly respond to situation. For example, that going back to the AI strategy we talk about, right? Have you aligned with the business strategy? I always question and ask it, what is AI in your business strategy, right? Is that as a core value driver? That basically AI is your business strategy. That is like OpenAI, Anthropic, or it is the key enabler. I think a majority of the company are enabler, and we're trying to enable our core business, our core competitive advantage. Or is that a common utility, so you just improve your productivity, or as a critical defender, help you prevent you from getting into trouble, like a compliance or privacy. So that's why the leader, when they use AI, they have to have strategic mind. What I'm using here right now, what kind of mastery level I have to achieve for this particular AI solution in my business value chain. So leader have to be strategic about that and operationalize that. So when they play the games, they know their strategy, right? But then that what separates regular tennis player from the legends are they have a noble purpose. They change the world. They inspire next generation that I call they leave a legacy. So the highest level of AI literacy, I would say, is AI legacy. Right. The C-suite, the founders have to say, okay, what kind of legacy I want to leave behind by embark this AI journey, by embark this AI transformation, and have the vision of what my new company will look like in the new AI economy. I believe the economy will change again, right? It's a fourth industrial revolution. It'll totally disrupt the old structure. So we should have that picture, say, imagine how the new world look like and where my company and my organization play in that new AI society. So that legacy has that visionary thinking is very important. Again, you cannot go just from watching TV to be a legend overnight. It takes effort, takes planning, takes practice, and takes perseverance. So you need to build the ecosystem, support system, and keep practicing. That's why I think starting small, right, getting some practice and iterate through that. It's a long journey. AI is not going to make you a millionaire, make you a company, right, great overnight. It is those one has been consistent in practice over time, and their organization will grow with them by implementing the full level of AI mastery I talk about.
Thanks. I mean, definitely, I love, especially love the analogy that you used, the tennis, because as I'm also a big follower of tennis, I've been following that since childhood, and I've seen the legends like Federer, Nadal, was in my millennium era, they became so popular of the game and being the great ambassadors of tennis. I saw them how they changed their strategy when they played in a different courts. Like Federer has been always been a, like a grass court player, but he changed his strategy when he played clay court against Nadal and vice versa. So I definitely love that analogy because that's how we have to tweak our strategy to meet certain business needs. It's always there's always a rule of thumb, but it's not about like a fully proven rule of thumb because we are going through a constant like ever changing landscape of AI, which is impacting the business transformation as well. So thanks, Nan, and definitely my listeners, many I'm pretty sure many of you are tennis fans, and you can definitely draw that analogy that Nan mentioned, and maybe try to change your AI strategy to kind of like super fast your business transformation in that way, which actually serve more value to your business customers. Thanks, man. I love the way this, the progression of this episode going on right now. So now I'm going to actually take a different tangent. I'm going to talk more about like, not just like how AI transformation is going, but we also have to think some of the things into consideration. And one of the very important thing is responsible ethical AI that's also being surfaced multiple times in recent days. So, in your opinion, how should companies think about balancing innovation speed with responsible AI practices, as that's has become super crucial, especially for the financial services and other industry verticals where we deal with very sensitive data?
Yeah, I'll say responsible AI is super important. Actually, they help accelerate innovation versus the hindering if we use that correctly. I'll give you another analogy. It's like driving a car on the
Definitely, please.
highway, right? Why we feel comfortable driving a car in fast speed on highway? Number one is there's clear regulation, there's rules, right? You get to ramp, you can only go one side, there's a barriers, you can the car from other side will not come over. There's a speed limit, there's highway patrol, right? Make sure you don't go too fast. And you have brakes, right? Your car needs a certain acceleration and you have a good brake, so in case any emergency you can't stop. So this is an analogy to responsible AI, right? We need the rules. We need the traffic rules so we feel comfortable and confident we can run at high speed. And we have the protection, like the barriers. We have certain protection protect us from getting injured. And we have the guardrails, like the brakes or even bumper, right? When we get an accident, we know we're protected. Similar with responsible AI, we need the rules, regulations. We know what we can do, and everybody follows the same rule. And second, we have the guardrails, right? Help us. So just the, we have brakes, that's why we're willing to go faster. And we have the protections, that's why privacy, security, accountability, explainability, all these things require for responsible AI. Actually, give the AI innovators the comfort, the confidence, and assurance that they are not going alone. They're going with the team, protect them and help them from deviate, right? From help them from getting into disaster. So, but sometimes it may seem start the initial progress, particularly in the POC. So we can think about we don't have to implement all of them at the same time, at the same place. So at the same time, meaning at the POC level, you might go faster, right? You focus on is this possible and how can people use it? But when you go to production, you should have a very well-structured AI governance process, AI responsible AI guidelines. So you check through, you go through all the checklist because when the things get out of box, it's in the market now. The risk much higher. That's when you have a much higher control. And similarly, in the different places in your sandbox area, you can encourage innovation, right? People can experiment without fear. But once you put into production area, you need to put all the controls. Similar, like my son is learning drive, right? Right now in the parking lot, he can do whatever he wants. But once he goes in the highway, right, that's a much different environment. So I think these two actually complement each other and help us make sure we're going the right direction.
No, I definitely like that. And again, great analogy one more time. I believe that, that AI governance is definitely necessitate the need for like, having a robust framework. And like you mentioned that, we definitely have a sandbox platform where the AI engineers or the innovators will have like a flexibility to try out different stuff without thinking about the risk of, jeopardizing the data security and stuff. However, once it goes to production, we have to be pretty much like a judicious about how we are using the data over there. And I've seen that companies started hiring a lot of AI paralegal associates, which kind of helping the engineers to making sure the data is unbiased and also it's kind of covered all the demographics and all kind of elements that's gonna not only like increase the data accuracy, but it also kind of for forwarding the AI ethical aspect of the data and the AI transformations. So thanks for your perspective on that, man. And this kind of like brings me to the final question of the podcast episode. Like for example, like I'm pretty sure our listeners, they're interested to trying to get buy-in for their AI initiatives now, but they probably often struggles to that. What would be their main objective? What's the strategy they're going to follow to kind of like kick off their AI initiative? So what's your advice for making the business making the business use cases across for all four AI transformation pillars, which you kind of alluded in the beginning of this podcast?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Like we talk about, right, align with business strategy, very important. You say AI is a hammer, right? And actually, we should focus on the nail. So I would say number one is getting really to get to know the business well and start with the business problem, right? How that understand the pain points, understand the value of this business use can generate, regardless what technology we're going to use. I think that's important that, and also talk to the users, get the buy-in from both the higher in the executive, the middle management, and to the frontline associates. So your case is well-baked. I would say second one is don't go alone. Go as a team. I talk about those four pillars, right? You have to assemble a cross-functional team. So don't go alone. Talk to your counterpart in legal department. What things I'm not considering, bring them as an advocate for you, right? Of course, take to your technology partners. What's newest technology possible? Let's brainstorm with that, but don't lead with that. I would say a third one is have a mindset of continuous improvement. Don't try to shoot the moon at the beginning. Start small. Iterate through the process. Find the incremental again first. Find the low-hanging fruit because this is AI transformation is also a mindset change. And people have to see it to believe it. People have to experience to embrace it. So, and that's why I talk this, you have to have your heart, your mind, your body all aligned, right? You change people's heart is okay, I don't fear for AI anymore, right? I may be starting loving it, but I'm not trusting it. It's like too much. I have two teenagers. I say I love them, I don't trust them, right? That's your heart. The mindset change, okay, it's not a competition anymore. It might help me, but I have to learn how to use it. I have to change how I operate, my workflow might change, my interaction might change. Then once people embrace that, they will come up with so many different new ways of using it. That's your body. Your mind really drive your body. So get organization rally around this new mission, a vision together, and that mission vision still alive with your business strategy, what you're serving, and what's most rewarding when you see the outcome. That's the best propel to helping your organization launch to the next level of AI transformation.
Thanks, Dan. This has been incredibly very insightful. Thank you for sharing your practical wisdom with my listeners here. And before we wrap up today's conversation, do you have any final thoughts, any advice for the listeners who are trying to get into their AI journey or thinking about, starting their AI initiatives aligned with certain business use cases?
I would say AI is changing so fast right now. A few advice I have, number one, trying to stay current, right? You have to find a way to how to stay current. Even that's a challenge, right? How to stay current by reading news, connect to the right people, or actually go out. Don't talk to AI, actually talk to people. Right, that's where you get the best ideas. And second, I would go deep into yourself. Right. You can get any answer from AI, but only you can tell what you stands for, what you're good at, what your business stands for. So actually go deeper into yourself, do some reflections and non-technology assistant reflection. I will say that. The last one is just embrace change, embrace uncertainty. I think we're going to have a rocky ride in the next few years. It's scary but exciting. So we just have to be ready for the unexpected journey ahead of us.
No, thank you. Definitely. I mean, asking yourself the right question about whether you have a business use case that fit AI strategy or initiative, that's definitely the rightmost way to go. So thanks, Nan. And that's all for today's episode of Data Science with Sam. If this conversation sparks some ideas for your own AI transformation journey, I would love to hear about it. Until next time, keep questioning, keep learning. And remember, the best AI transformation is the one that actually gets adopted. Thanks for listening.